Have a Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Here we are going through the book of Colossians verse by verse. Also, put a finger in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 because we're looking at Ephesians 5 and 6. We'll be doing that today. We did that last week and we'll be doing it again next week because Ephesians 5 and 6 are really dealing with the same things that Colossians 3 deals with, except they go into greater detail. So we're using those to help us as we go through this over the next few weeks here. And so this morning, what we're going to be talking about is parents and children. And so all of us are children of somebody, right? A lot of us, if not most of us, are parents of somebody. And so we all fit into this category this morning. We're going to see how we all fit into this category here in just a moment. But when we think about parenting, with all of the books and seminars and all the things that you can find to learn about parenting, I find it very interesting that the Holy Spirit uses two short verses here in Colossians. And then we're going to see in Ephesians, he uses four short verses there to teach us and to lead us when it comes to parenting. It's amazing to me. And so maybe you're not a parent this morning and you're still a child. All of us, if we are followers of Jesus, if we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior, we are a child of God, our faithful Heavenly Father. And as his children, we have the joy of relating to God the Father who never leaves us, who never hurts us, who never forsakes us, never gives up on us. This is what we have in God. He is our Father. Now, parents, we have an awesome privilege. It was Billy Graham who said this, and let me read this. He says, children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. He said, give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly, and you give them something that gold and silver cannot buy. And so as parents in our care, we have moldable, changeable, unpredictable people who will grow up really, really fast. If you don't believe me, come see me and we'll tell you, right? They're gone in a flash. And there are times, though, that those difficult times where you might want to parent the way that Mark Twain suggested. And he said, when your child turns 13, stick them in a barrel, nail a lid on the top, and feed them through the knot hole. When they turn 16, block the knot hole. That's his suggestion. I don't know about if that'll work. I've never seen a teen eat enough food through a knot hole in a barrel, but maybe, I don't know. But we feed them, we clothe them, we house them. That's the practical side of parenting. But there's something that's even more important, and we feed them God's word. We clothe them with prayer. We house them with a spiritual, God-honoring home. And so let's look at our passage here in Colossians. We're actually going to back up to verse 15 because this is where we've been the last couple of weeks, and we'll read down through verse 21. And it says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, or do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, last week we hit on a lot of those verses there when it comes to marriage. And if you see some words that like, you like, whoa, I don't know about those words. We talked about those last week. And so if you missed that and want to know how that went through, you can go back and listen to that. It's on our Facebook page and it's on our YouTube page. So you can see, you know, we talked about a marriage last week. So if you have your fingers, go to Ephesians 6:1 now, or if you had a finger in Ephesians, turn there. If not, you can turn there with me. In Ephesians 6:1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So if you go back a chapter to chapter 5 in Ephesians, Paul is still on this theme that we talked about last week. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." And so, like I said, we saw this last week, and what he was saying and what we saw with talking about marriage last week is that he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul does, he says, you shouldn't try marriage unless you are led by the power of the Spirit. If you're being led by the Spirit, that's the way you try marriage. That's why how you work and go through marriage. And so as parents and children, we have to be led by the Spirit of God to have a right relationship. Many people have had an experience with their parents and they didn't like that. Like they did some things that they didn't like as they were growing up. And so they decided that they're going to do things completely different than the way that their parents did it. And the goal isn't, okay, God, how am I supposed to parent my kids? It's, I'm just going to the opposite spectrum of what they did because I didn't like what they did to me. Let me just tell you this morning, that is a huge danger. I think the church is really notorious with this as well. We see some things that we don't like in the church, and then some people will just go and start a whole nother church, and instead of asking God what they should be doing in their community, they just do the opposite of the thing they didn't like in that other church. That's why so many churches struggle. And what we need to be doing is seeking God about what we are to be doing, how we are to be connecting in our community and loving the people in our community. And so for those of us who are parents, and especially for those of us who are fathers, we are the same thing to our kids as God is to us. Think about this morning. Dads, we are fathers. We are fathers, and it's hard for me to fathom that God shares his title with someone like me. See, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he says, pray like this. He said, "Our Father who is in heaven." In the Jewish culture, no one would ever refer to God as Father. And Jesus uses that word, Abba. It's an Aramaic word that basically means dad or daddy. It carries that same kind of intimacy as dad when we say that. And then right before Jesus is to go to the cross, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays and he says, "Abba, Father, if there's any other way than this cup, if we can do it any other way, then the death on the cross, can we do that?" But he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." Basically, what he's saying is this is going to be hard. If there's any other way, let's do that. But no matter what, I trust you, Father. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So God's Spirit in us as followers of Jesus calls out to God and it says, "Dad." And many people, many pastors, many theologians say that the problem today in our culture is that people aren't connected to their heavenly dad and they aren't connected to their earthly dad. And that's leaving a mark on us. Many of us have the mark of our fathers on us and in us, whether it was in their presence there in our lives or was the absence of them in our lives. Psalm 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And just a few verses here this morning, because God, when he's speaking to Adam in Genesis 1, verse 28, he says, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it." And so the call is to have children, and God calls himself in the Bible the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this is to show us here that we are to build a lineage of passing of one generation on to the next generation, and we are passing on the loving of God, the knowing of God. We go a little farther into Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you will I curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And so Abram, God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham started a new family of knowing God. And when you get into Matthew chapter 1, it starts off by saying Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob, and it just keeps going down the line, the father of, the father of, the father of. And it shows us this great lineage of the fathers passing on to their children the knowing of God. And as we look at our passage here this morning, it's about building a legacy. And so what parents do, they are to help their children know God and understand his world. That's what we do, parents. Back in Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." See, the word father really means parents. And that phrase there, "bring them up," in the Greek means the totality of the person. That's mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It's their work ethic, their social skills. And so what parents are to do are to help their children in that training right there. And it's not just one part of the child, it's the whole part of their child. We're to bring them up and be active in that and bringing them up in that way. And too often what happens is we think, well, you know, our kids are in school, so they're going to learn all those things in school, so I don't have to do anything there. And I bring my kids to church, and they're in children's church or in youth group or whatever it is, so I don't really have to do anything there because they're going to learn that stuff there. But no, that's not what God is calling us to. We are to be actively involved in all of those things. We didn't know, like, what are the schools teaching my kids? Is it good? Is it bad? Is the church is to complement what's already happening and what they're already learning about God at home. It's not a replacement. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, they had just been given the Ten Commandments. And it says in Deuteronomy 6, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." We're to teach. So in our book, Colossians, that we're going through, in verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Like, why does that please God? Well, God has designed the family as the first place that we learn about God and we learn about God's world. And so the parents are the first line of authority in a child's life. This is where they learn authority. And so God is their authority. And if they're going to understand God and God's world and how God's world works, they have to first learn that from their parents. And the child who doesn't learn to obey his parents isn't likely to grow up to be one who obeys authority. They'll defy their teachers, their employers, the police, anyone who'll try to exercise authority over them. And so the breakdown of the authority in our society reflects the breakdown of authority in the home. Parents are the authority. Parents are the opportunity for children to trust somebody besides themselves. And if you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to trust God with your life. If you're going to have, if you're going to relate to this world and how it works, you're going to have to trust people. And so parents are that first opportunity for a child to do that. Parents are to pave the way for children to know and understand God. And particularly dads impact children in the way that they know who God is. And however our dad was or is to us is how we tend to see God and what God is like. We call God our heavenly Father. And the first image of a father that we have is our earthly father. And even if your dad didn't really accurately show you what God is like, that doesn't mean that you won't ever find out and know what God is like, because we have the Bible, which is God revealing himself to us. But parents, we need to know what God's love is. We need to know God's love for us. What does the gospel say about God's love toward us? Well, we know that Jesus gave his life for us. And so I have to believe the truth about my sin, that it was so bad and it so separated me from God that Jesus had to die to pay for my sins, to pay that price. The gospel also tells me that I am valued by God and that he loves me and he delights in me and that he would gladly give up his life for me. This is what the gospel teaches us. And so the gospel humbles me because it tells me about my sin. The gospel, right? It's good news. So the gospel, the good news, tells me about my sin. And at the same time, it lifts me up because it tells me how much I'm loved. It shows me the truth of my brokenness, but at the same time, it's the grace of God's love and mercy that's poured over me and out for me. It blends together. And I need to understand that because children need to grow and understand the same truth as well. They need to know what God has done for us, the good news, the gospel. And so if I understand the good news of the gospel and God and his love for me, then I'm going to be far less likely to embitter and exasperate, discourage my children. And this means that we don't confuse them about God and how the world works, the world that he has created. We need them to help them to understand that. And so when parents embitter their children and exasperate them, what happens is it causes them to lose heart. And they just don't get it. They don't get how things work in the world. And so our passage here is saying to us, parents, you have a tremendous role to play in the lives of your children, so do it well. Don't give them cause to be embittered or confused, to lose heart, to be discouraged. And so we need to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can parent well. Now, how do we keep from embittering and discouraging our kids? Well, we provide for the needs of our kids. In fact, doing that says a lot. Like, provide affection for them. Show your children how much you love them. Show them how they should be treated in life. Provide protection for them. Your children should feel safe. Protect their hearts. And this isn't an overprotecting of your kids. And then we need to get our kids around godly men and women so that they can look up to them and respect them, that they understand that, well, this isn't just mom or and mom and dad telling me about God, but there are other people who are godly as well. And as parents, we have to deal and help our kids deal with the sin in their life. They're going to deal with sin for the rest of their lives, so how are you going to talk to them about it? How are you going to help them deal with that? How are you going to help them deal with other people when they hurt them and sin against them? Are they going to be shocked by that, or are they going to already understand that this world is broken because of sin? And so parents, what we need to do is we have to model repentance to our family. So when you fall short of who you are meant to be or what you should be doing, you should repent, and your family should see that you are repenting. You should repent when you hurt or when you're short with your kids. This also means disciplining your kids when they sin. You have to correct them. And you can't do it out of anger, out of hate. So what is the correct discipline? It's helping your child know that this is wrong. This thing that they are doing is wrong. And if they keep in this thing that is wrong, it's damaging to them. But not only that, it's damaging to their relationship with God, and it's damaging to other people as well. And so it needs to be disciplined, and it needs to be corrected. That's what you're doing. You're trying to correct that. And while you're correcting, the other thing that a parent does is to stand in the gap for their sins. What does that mean? That means you repent with them for their sins. You stand in the gap and you say, God, forgive my son or forgive my daughter. And your kids need to know that you are praying for them. They need to know that their parents are standing in the gap praying for them. And it's good for them to know that they are sinful, but at the same time, they are loved and delighted in and accepted. That they are accepted even though their behavior is wrong, but they are loved and delighted in. That Jesus paid for their sin. That you aren't punishing them, but you're disciplining them to help them, like, to be corrected so they know the right way to go. You're training them. You're showing them what is right. But Jesus has already been punished in their place. And that's part of the instruction to children. It actually giving them instruction and setting the course. In Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's like once a week that goes through two of them. I don't know. It's fun. So Proverbs 22, 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so if you fail to train and instruct your children, you're not helping. And so as a parent, one of the things that you need to do is capture the heart of your children, right? Too many parents only want their kids to obey the rules so that they look good. Look how good my kids are. Look how good a parent I am. That's why they want them to obey the rules. But Paul here is calling parents to correct and train while at the same time capturing the hearts of their children. You need to be somebody that they want to obey, that they grow to love and respect you, that they want to follow and what you're saying. And with this, you have to think about the truth of what Jesus did, the gospel. Like, God could have stood there and demanded that we obey him. I mean, he is God, right? He could have done that, and we are not God. But this isn't how God relates to us. What God did is he captured our hearts. Instead of demanding that we pay the price for our sins, he offers himself to pay for our sin. And in doing that, we see the great love of God and who he is. And religion says, I'm going to obey God so that that God will accept me. What Christianity says is I'm captivated by the love of God and the heart of God, so much so that I want to follow him and obey him. I want to be a part of what God wants to be a part of because he has shown me his heart and he has captured my heart. And this should be true of us as we relate to our kids. And if we only try to get our kids to obey rules, we'll never capture their hearts. And instead, we will embitter them, discourage them. I know for many people that they didn't have the parents that did this for them. And we need to remember that maybe we didn't have godly parents in our lives, but we have godly men and women in the church who can help us with that, who can be that for us. We can help teach and do that for people. So what happens when you don't have parents that taught you what God is like? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Some of us need to forgive our parents. As we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Colossians chapter 3, tells us in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Yes, And this is hard right here. This is a long journey. But family is the first place for us to exercise our faith in what we believe about God. And if we talk about God being a God of forgiveness, then let's put that into action in our lives. Let's forgive our families, the ones who are closest to us, maybe even the ones that have hurt us the most. Let's forgive them. And it's a process that we looked at a couple of weeks ago when we looked at that verse. And if you need to go back and listen to that sermon about forgiveness, go back and do it. It's on those same pages. And it's also, though, realizing that we are just as capable of hurting our kids as our parents may have hurt us. You have to realize that if you're going to forgive your parents, you just have to understand that. When you realize that, it starts to show us that we are not perfect too. We're not perfect. And what rises up in us is this thought that I would never hurt my kids the way they hurt me or that bad or in that way. And if we think that way, begin to think that way, we start to think self-righteously, I am better than them, better than they are. And when you think this way, you go to unforgiveness, which leads to that root of bitterness that rises up inside of you. We have to cut that out, that bitterness. We have to forgive. Some of us can look back at our parents and our family line and see a line of parents that taught our families about Jesus. I'm grateful for my parents who did that for us, my brother and I. And we can continue that line of teaching and training and telling our kids about God. Some people never had that in their family line, and you have the opportunity of starting that right now. But the Bible teaches as adults, we don't obey our parents, but we honor them. And so, if you've grown up, you don't have to obey your parents anymore. That's this, the relationship changes. Now you honor them. And so we need to honor our parents. And what honor is love and respect for someone, regardless of the behavior of that person. Honor offers up love and attention even when they don't deserve it. And so how can we honor our parents? Well, we can do it by listening to them, by helping them around their home, by including them in the family activities that we do, by taking their wise advice into account. But the basic rules of abuse still apply in this, if that is a part of your life, that an adult doesn't have to subject themselves to abuse from a parent who continually verbally abuses them, tears them down, treats them in a demeaning manner. You don't have to be around that, but you can still honor and you can still forgive. And so what Paul is saying in all of this is to us, to those that are children or teens, you know you are being led by the Spirit if you are obeying your parents. Adults, you know you are being led by the Spirit when you are honoring your parents. Parents, you know you are being led by the Spirit when you are teaching and training your children in love. And that's what this passage is about this morning. That's what we see here. And that's the opportunity that we have as all of us, wherever we are in our lives, is to be led by the Spirit as children, as adults, as parents. Would you bow your heads as we close this morning? And as we talk about parents and children, a lot of different emotions and feelings can rise up depending on the kind of parents that we have, how our kids are. Maybe some of us need to forgive this morning. Maybe you need to forgive your parents for something that's happened in your life. Maybe you need to forgive your kids for something that they've done. Be reminded that God is a God of forgiveness. It's why he went to the cross. So that our sins could be forgiven. And because God is a God of forgiveness and we are now His children through faith in Jesus, He calls us to forgiveness. And let me tell you, it will set you free. And so with our heads bowed here this morning, if you need to forgive somebody, would you do that between you and God right now? Would you just say, God, help me to forgive whoever it is. You fill in that blank. Lord, I forgive them for what they've done in my life. God, I pray you bring healing in this situation that's happened here. Would you take a moment to do that this morning? And if you're a parent here this morning, it doesn't matter what age your children are, would you ask the Holy Spirit to just lead you as you parent? I know that even as my kids are out of the house and it's something new for us, parenting's not over. And I need the direction of the Holy Spirit to help in that. So would you ask that this morning? Holy Spirit, lead me. And if you're a child, no matter what age you are, would you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you this morning? If you're in the household still, to be obedient to your parents, and if you're out of it, to honor your parents. I'm going to give you this opportunity to just take a moment and pray here. And we'll close this in just a moment. So take that moment to pray here.